the song that we just sang, would you turn back there in your hymn book for just a moment, back to 455, 455. Find for me in this song parts of our armor that are mentioned. We just sang about some of them. Where do we find any of these parts mentioned in the song? All right, so we have our sword, the word of God, in the end of that second line at the top. And then we have the salvation's helmet, the third verse, third line. And we also have what? Yep, and we have faith as the victory. And, of course, we have the shield of faith. It's not called the shield of faith in here, but we in that same line where we had salvation's helmet, what do we have? We have ourselves girt about with truth. That's the girdle of truth that we'll be looking at this morning. And then any others? Well, the banner is mentioned. It's not really one of our individual pieces of equipment. Yeah, is it mentioned as a shield? Oh, that's right. Second verse, last line. Yep. Faith by which we conquer death is still our shining shield. And so we have several, not all, but several pieces of our armor mentioned in this song and in other songs that we sing together as well. So now, just a little test this morning. If you want to learn about the armor of God, where do you have to turn in the Word of God to teach us about the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6. And so if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You don't have to respond by raising your hand this morning or anything. I'm just asking a question to get you to think a little bit. But how many of you have sensed that you're in a spiritual battle this week? You don't raise your hands. You don't have to do that. I'm just wanting you to think for a moment. But have you sensed being in the battle? Have you sensed that the enemy is opposing you? Have you sensed that the world is opposing you? Have you sensed that the flesh is opposed? Have you sensed the battle? You know, sometimes it's possible for Christians to get so complacent about the Christian life that when the battle is raging, they don't even recognize that the battle is raging. And this one verse, I think, if I went back and looked at it, we're to leave our tents of ease, it said in one of the verses here. We get so comfortable and so complacent and maybe so apathetic toward the spiritual battle that we kind of coast and rest, and sometimes we don't even recognize that the battle is raging around us. But certainly we are in a spiritual battle. I pray that many of us have sensed that this week and recognized the enemy and as he would seek to defeat us. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, as we continue to consider this passage, I pray that you will indeed help us to be equipped with that armor. We pray even now that we might have that armor upon us to guard us and help us and protect us. We pray that we might be clad for battle today. And certainly, Satan, the enemy, doesn't even want us to know about the armor, doesn't want us to know about that which can assist us in the battle. And I pray that he'll be defeated today, as he would discredit and discourage and destroy and take away truth from our hearts. So bless this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, for a moment. John 18. And during the last few hours, really, of Christ's life, he had a short, at least it's only recorded as a short, conversation, but could have been longer. We don't know that all of it is recorded for us here. But just a short while before he is sentenced to death, he is in a conversation with Pilate. And Pilate is asking him some questions. What is one of the questions here that he asks him in verse 33, and then he asks it again in verse 37? What's the question? Are you the king of the Jews? And then later he said, art thou a king? So he's asking Jesus some questions. In answer to those questions, Jesus said in verse 37, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the, what is it? Truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so in answering the question, am I a king, or are you a king? He answers by saying, that's why I came, but I also came to testify of the truth. And that brought out, I think, now I'm not trying to read too much into the passage of Scripture, but I almost envision Pilate making his next comment with a little sneer in his face, with a little bit of sarcasm in his voice, with a little bit of cynicism in his demeanor, when he says, what is truth? Almost kind of with a disgust. What is truth? Now, I know that I wasn't there, but I'm just trying to envision the picture for myself. And so he asked this question. Here is a hard, bitter, crafty, arrogant political figure who probably thinks about himself more than he ought to think. And he, with this cynical response to art thou the king of the Jews and are you a king, he learns about truth. And from his question, it almost implies that he doubts whether you can know truth. Pilate was representing a system at that time that extended from the river Euphrates, clear over in Babylon, to the Atlantic Ocean, included almost all of Europe, and that went from the Libyan desert down in Africa to the fertile banks of the Rhine River. That was the size of the Roman Empire. And Pilate was a representative for that empire at this time. And remember what had captured men's minds at this time. Well, we know that it was the Greek culture, the Greek philosophy, the Greek art. All of that had captured the minds of the general populace. But what had captured their bodies? The Romans. They were under the control and domination of the Romans. And so here's Pilate feeling pretty secure and pretty smug and pretty important. And they were the law. They were the rulers. And but the Romans and the Greeks continued to chase after truth. What is truth? John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, was the embodiment of truth. He was truth embodied in flesh. And he is God's absolute truth. And that truth is embodied in human form for men to see, for men to receive, for men to follow, for men to copy. Because of that, the fiercest arena of combat is not found between armies or empires, but where truth is fighting against that which is false. That's where the fiercest battles will rage. And Satan does not want to lose any of his captives today by having them exposed to truth. Now, back in our passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, how are we to be in verse 10? What does God want us to be in verse 10? Strong. And he wants us to be powerful. But we do that on our own, right? No, it's strong where? In the Lord. Strong in the Lord and in the power of our might. Oh, his might, that's right, his might. So the strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And when we put on this armor, whose armor is it? The armor of God. It's God's armor. And so it's God's truth, it's God's armor, it's God's strength that we have to rely upon if we are going to be strong, if we are going to be able to stand as we are told to stand in this passage. And so this put on, when we come down to verse 11, and then a little later we find it again, but verse 11 says, put on. This really means to envelop yourself in. How many of you on a cold day really enjoy taking a great big huge fuzzy blanket and just wrapping yourself in that blanket? All right, some of you do. And I'm not going to pick on my wife, but she would live in one of those if she could, you know, especially when it's cold weather, you know. And don't they even have snuggle bags and stuff like that? But what this word, to put on the armor, just means to envelop yourself, to wrap yourself, to hide yourself in. That's what it means, to hide yourself in this armor. And we are not to trust in human devices. We're not to trust in human strength. We're not to trust in human plans. But we are to trust in the armor in which we have enveloped ourselves. And so we are to cover ourselves. remember, who are we fighting? This passage also tells us who we're fighting. Who are we fighting at the end of verse 11? The wiles of the devil. So the devil is our enemy. He's crafty. He's deceitful. Once I finish this series on the armor, I'm going to go into a series on learning about Satan's devices. But our enemy is Satan. Don't forget that. Our enemy is Satan. He's the one we're fighting against. But is that just Satan we're fighting against? Who is it in verse 12? Well, principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a description of how Satan's forces are also put down in categories with leadership and how they've been organized. We're fighting against an organized enemy. An enemy in spiritual wickedness. We often call those who are co-enemies with Satan by the name demon. So we have Satan and his demons who are our enemies. Now, I want to just stop. This is not part of what I'd planned to say at all this morning, but let me just say this. If you are a child of God today, and I pray and hope and trust that all of you are, but if you're a child of God today by faith in Jesus Christ, there might be some demon oppression, but there will never be demon possession for the one who is in Christ. Now, it's possible to be oppressed, but not possessed. I knew some Christian pastors who have taught in the past that every time you sneeze, it must be because you have a demon in you. And I'm not, that sounds ridiculous, but there are people who believe that. That every time you're sick, it's because of a demon in you. And every time, sisters and brothers in Christ, do not believe that. That is not true. That is not biblical teaching. If you're a child of God by faith today, you cannot have demons living in your body. The Spirit of God, no man can serve two masters. You cannot have the Spirit of God living with you and demons living within you. But you can be oppressed outwardly by demons. And they are our enemies. And we need to be standing against them. And so we are to do, verse 13, take the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, and verse 14 tells us our first piece of equipment, and that's today. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. Now, this girdle or belt of truth, that is not too meaningful to you and I today. But it certainly was of great importance to the men of ancient biblical times. It's talking about a piece of equipment that covered your waist, your back, your hips, your lower back. The best way to describe it, have you ever watched some weightlifting contests where they are trying to lift the huge, big weights? And these men, before they get ready to lift, they will put on a belt around their body that sometimes is as wide as 8 to 10 inches wide, a belt that they put on. Why do they put that belt on? It gives them some support. It helps their strength so that their back and their hips don't give out on them when they're lifting these great weights. It is a very important piece of equipment for them to have. And this girdle of truth is a similar type of equipment for that soldier who is going to be going into battle. It would be helping him with his strength in battle. It would be assisting him for his mobility in battle. It will be assisting him for his holding other pieces of equipment together, because sometimes they would hook the breastplate of righteousness down to that belt to help hold it in place. So it is a very central, important piece of the armor. And you don't need to turn there. You can jot down the reference if you'd like. But in 1 Samuel 2:4 it says, "And they that stumbled are girded with strength." Oh, has something to do with your walk, so that you don't stumble, to have yourself girded with strength. Psalm 18:39 says, "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle." And what is the source of this strength? It is called the girt about with truth. What's the source of our strength today? Truth. Truth is the source of our strength. And I want to just mention three kinds of truth today. And I'm not talking about absolute and relative and all. You know what I'm going to talk about? Implanted truth. Where has truth been implanted today? Truth has been implanted in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth." Where do you find truth? In Jesus Christ. It is also resident in us, because where is Christ? In us. And so truth that has been implanted in Christ has now been implanted in us because of the indwelling person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you were born again, when you by faith became a member of God's family, when you recognize your sin and Christ's sufficiency and your inability and Christ's ability and your sinfulness and Christ's sinlessness, when you recognized all that and understood that by trusting Jesus Christ's finished work on Calvary and his shed blood, that you could be saved, guess what you had implanted in you? Truth. It was implanted. But we also have not only implanted truth, we have imparted truth. What is imparted truth? Right here. The imparted truth. We have this that has been imparted to us through the Spirit of God, imparted to mankind. And so we have the imparted truth and the implanted truth, but we also have implemented truth. You say implemented. What does it mean to implement something? To put it to work, to practice it, to implement it. Well, we have, back in John chapter 14, we have the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth so that we can walk in truth. And so he is that one who helps us implement truth. You know what the part of the problem is today? We have this imparted truth. We have this implanted truth. But sometimes there's a short circuit between implementing that truth, living that truth. Studies show that a lot of Christian young people especially can give you the right answers, but don't sense how that applies to life, and don't understand the importance of living truth. It's not just enough to know truth. It's not just enough to have truth. We have to implement it. We have to live truth. And so the Spirit is our teacher. He's our guide. He's our reminder in John 14 and 16. The Spirit is the one who's going to teach us. The Spirit is the one who's going to guide us. The one who's going to remind us of all the things that Christ has said. And so the girdle, the belt, is our source of strength today. If you want to stand strong, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The belt of truth is the source of that strength. But it's also the source of our freedom, our liberty. Back in biblical times, when a soldier was battling, what did he usually have on under the belt of truth and under the breastplate of righteousness? He had some kind of a tunic or robe. And it was a robe that would protect him all the way almost down to his feet. But if he wanted to move around in battle, if he needed to be mobile, if he needed to have liberty and freedom to move when he needed to move, what would happen if he tripped over that tunic? So during battle, what would he do with that tunic? He would probably lift it up and tuck it into the belt to hold it up out of the way so he wouldn't trip over it. So the belt of truth also becomes our freedom today. It becomes our mobility, becomes our liberty. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. Truth gives freedom. You know, a lot of times people look at this and say, oh my, all the rules and all the things that I've got to do in the Bible. No, this doesn't bind you, this frees you. And so the truth sets one free. Again, you don't need to turn here, but in 1 Kings 18:46, we studied this a few Wednesday nights ago as we were looking at the miracles, and we have a story here of Elijah. And Elijah has just talked to King Ahab, and he says there's going to be rain, and he says, get you back. And so what is Ahab doing? He is whipping his horse, and he's riding his chariot just as fast as he can back to Samaria. And who outruns him? Elijah. And it says in that passage that he girded up his loins. What did he do? He tucked up his robe so that he could run. When we are wearing the girdle or the belt of truth, it gives us strength and it gives us freedom. We can move with confidence. We can move with assurance. We can move with peace. We can move with determination. No hesitation. Because Romans 8:37, and what are we to gird up? The loins of truth. And we then are more than conquerors through him that loved us, according to Romans 8:37. And so, first of all, this piece of armor, the belt of truth, gives us strength and it gives us freedom. But it also is the source of restraint. Constructive restraint. It stabilizes us so that everything else is not just flopping all over the place. Where would they hook the sword? Probably to the belt of truth. Where would they hook the armor, the breastplate of righteousness? To the belt of truth. It made you stable. You know, again, one of the problems that we face today is just so much instability in the life of believers. You know what the Bible talks about earlier in the book of Ephesians? It tells us that we are to speak the truth in love, and grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's one of the goals, but in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Do you know what truth gives us? Stability. we're not tossed about with all kinds of, you know, there are more doctrines coming down the pipe than you can shake a stick at today. Everybody out there's got their ideas of truth and their ideas of right, and I hope you are as abhorred with some of the things that are going on today as I am. We see some terrible things taking place today. But what gives us stability? Truth. Truth helps us to be stable and strong and free. And notice back in 6:14, it says, having your loins girt about with truth, and therefore we can stand. Truth, sincerity, openness, truthfulness should be a highlight in our lives today, in thought and life. You know, I periodically watch some of these judge programs. There's a whole pile of them on television today. And what today, if you get anything out of it, is don't ever do anything without doing what? Getting it in writing, right? Get it in writing. Don't do anything without a contract, without getting it in writing. You know, my father and my grandfather lived in days when they didn't have to do that. A handshake was all it took. And I have my grandfather's logbook. When he would write down everything he spent, everything it cost him to maintain his farm, and over, my grandfather traded with other farmers, and just traded labor, traded animals, traded feed for animals, and it was all done with a handshake. And you know what we ought to be known for today? That our word or handshake is true. That we can be trusted. That when we say something, we mean it. And we won't change our mind 10 minutes later. And so there is stability in truth. Truth ought to dominate our lives. It ought to mold our character. If we're going to put on the belt of truth, it will help us be strong. It will help us be free. It will help us be stable. And lastly this morning, it will help us be clean for service. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This cleansing, this service, being set aside, sanctified, set apart for service, we have to be clean. And it was girding up your loins during the time that you were cleaning yourselves. And what is going to clean us today? Truth. It's going to cleanse us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And I will hide God's word in my heart that what? I might not sin against God. And so it's the word of God that cleanses us. You remember just there before Jesus was betrayed, he was in the upper room with the disciples. And it says that Jesus washed their feet and he girded himself with a towel. This whole picture is of the belt of truth girding us so that we're strong, so that we're free to move around and serve God. We're clean, we're stable, and it all starts with truth. truth. Take you to two last verses and then we'll close this morning. And I want you to turn to these. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 6 and 7. Says, by pureness, how are we to give no offense? Verse 3 says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. What are we going to do? We are going to give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And how are we going to do that? By being pure, knowledgeable, long-suffering, kind, by the work of the Holy Spirit, by love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. There's another verse that talks about the armor. And then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That girding up our minds is to gird them with truth. Today, if we haven't already started practicing it, let's by faith put on the belt of truth.